What would you do if your stepdaughter suddenly appeared in your life, seemingly sweet to your husband, but harboring a sinister side only you could see? Nicola Sanders' psychological thriller, Don't Let Her Stay, explores this terrifying scenario with masterful precision. The novel has captivated readers worldwide, becoming a book club favorite for its exploration of gaslighting, manipulation, and the blurred lines between victims and perpetrators. Celebrated by psychological thriller enthusiasts, including best-selling author Gillian Flynn, who called it disturbingly believable, the book taps into our primal fears about those we invite into our homes and trust with our children. Joanne's life seems picture-perfect on the surface. She lives in a beautiful 6-bedroom country house with her handsome investment banker husband Richard and their 4-month-old daughter Evie. Yet beneath this veneer of domestic bliss lies a profound loneliness. Richard works long hours in the city, leaving Joanne isolated in their rural estate with only Oscar, their elderly caramel Labrador, for company. The monotony of Joanne's days is broken only by small events, the postman's arrival, brief interactions with their cleaner Roxanne, who seems more interested in her headphones than conversation. Despite the grandeur of their home with its landscaped grounds, Joanne feels increasingly disconnected from the world. She remembers how excited she was when they first bought the house during her pregnancy, imagining garden parties and children playing on the lawn, planning to renovate the outdated kitchen as her personal project. But nothing has unfolded as she envisioned. Their relationship began when Richard came to the real estate agency where Joanne worked in Chelmsford. He was with his then-fiancée, Isabella, looking for a property. After getting trapped together in a basement during a viewing, Richard helped Joanne through her panic attack. Weeks later, he returned alone, revealing that Isabella had cheated on him. Joanne shared her own heartbreak about her ex-boyfriend Mark, who left her for a pregnant colleague. This mutual vulnerability created an instant bond, and 8 months later, they were married. The delicate balance of their new family life is suddenly disrupted when Richard receives a letter from his estranged daughter, Chloe, who wants to visit and meet her little sister, Evie. Richard is elated by this unexpected olive branch from his daughter, who had previously cut ties with him when he married Joanne. For Joanne, however, the news brings a mixture of hope and apprehension. Could this be the chance to finally complete their family circle, or is there something more concerning behind Chloe's sudden interest? When Chloe finally arrives at their doorstep, Joanne is struck by her stepdaughter's beauty. Light brown hair with blonde highlights, thick lashes framing striking green eyes. But their first interaction is immediately strained when Chloe calls her Joanna instead of Joanne and offers a formal handshake rather than accepting Joanne's attempted hug. The tension only escalates from there. Chloe speaks to Richard in a sweet, childlike voice, but switches to a lower, colder tone when addressing Joanne. She makes cutting remarks about Joanne's age and questions why she doesn't breastfeed Evie. During a tour of the house, Chloe picks up Joanne's Cartier perfume and comments that her mother used the same one, a subtle territorial marking. Most alarmingly, when they visit the nursery, Chloe abruptly picks up the sleeping Evie despite Joanne's protests, holding the baby incorrectly and causing her to cry. When Joanne tries to correct her, Chloe denies doing anything wrong and manipulates the situation to make Richard think Joanne is being hostile. "Children are so perceptive, aren't they?" Chloe remarks with a smirk when Evie continues crying in her arms. "They can tell when someone doesn't like them." The pattern continues at dinner, where Chloe makes passive-aggressive comments about Joanne's age compared to her mother's when she had children. When Joanne mentions hiring a professional nanny named Paula so she can work part-time, Chloe, surprisingly, offers to be Evie's babysitter instead, revealing she's dropped out of university. Richard, initially shocked, quickly embraces the idea with enthusiasm, despite Joanne's hesitation and the fact that she's already hired someone qualified. The power dynamics in the household shift dramatically with Chloe's arrival. Richard, normally attentive to Joanne's needs, begins to prioritize his daughter's wishes and dismisses Joanne's concerns. He explains away Chloe's behavior, repeatedly asking Joanne to be patient because she hasn't had an easy life. When Joanne asks what he means by cryptic comments about Chloe not always being well, he deflects, only saying that she's wonderful now. As days pass, Chloe's manipulation tactics intensify. She deliberately forgets to care for Evie when she's supposed to be babysitting, causing Joanne to interrupt an important work video conference. When confronted, Chloe denies they ever had such an arrangement. She makes cutting remarks that undermine Joanne's confidence in her parenting abilities and mental stability, even going so far as to say, "I think you're losing your mind, Joanne, just like your mother." This calculated reference to Joanne's mother, who suffered from postpartum psychosis, reveals that Chloe has been gathering ammunition from Richard about Joanne's personal history. When questioned, Richard admits to telling Chloe about Joanne's mother's mental health issues that required hospitalization. Chloe weaponizes this information, subtly suggesting to Richard that Joanne might have inherited her mother's instability. The gaslighting escalates when Joanne discovers a broken bottle of Calpol, children's medicine, in the bathroom. When she confronts Chloe, Richard intervenes, defending his daughter, who claims she heard the baby crying and was simply trying to help. Later, Joanne finds the baby monitor turned off and Evie with tear-stained cheeks, suggesting she had been crying unattended for some time. Yet, when she tries to explain this to Richard, he accuses her of being out of control and comforts Chloe instead. The situation reaches a breaking point when Joanne installs hidden cameras throughout the house to capture evidence of Chloe's manipulations. When Chloe discovers one of the cameras, Richard explodes with rage. "You've been spying on us?" he shouts, slamming his hand on the table while Chloe smiles in the background. Richard deletes the app from Joanne's phone and threatens consequences if she tries something similar again. What makes this psychological warfare particularly effective is how Chloe exploits the natural insecurities of a new mother. She targets Joanne's fears about her parenting abilities, her isolation, and her concerns about her mental health. Each interaction leaves Joanne questioning her own perceptions and judgment, wondering if she might indeed be overreacting or becoming paranoid like her mother. As Joanne becomes increasingly concerned about Chloe's behavior, she begins investigating her stepdaughter's background. Through online research, she makes a shocking discovery. Richard and his first wife, Diane, had another baby named Sophie, who died of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, at 3 months old, a fact Richard never mentioned to her. When confronted, Richard defends his omission, saying it was the saddest part of his life, and he didn't want to bring that nightmare into their relationship. He reveals that Sophie died just 2 months before Diane's suicide, which was triggered by profound depression. Richard also mentions that Diane had complained about Chloe's behavior with the baby, though he never witnessed any serious problems except when Chloe threw Sophie's toys in the trash. Through a meeting with Jim Preston, a local journalist who covered the case years ago, Joanne learns even more disturbing details. Chloe had disconnected all the phones in the house as part of a prank on the day of Diane's death, preventing her mother from calling for help after her fall from a third-floor balustrade. Diane didn't die instantly and might have survived if she'd received medical attention. Most shockingly, Chloe was admitted to a psychiatric unit for children after her mother's death, possibly as part of an arrangement to avoid a deeper investigation. Jim suggests that Richard may have used his connections and money to protect his daughter. "Don't stand too close to any balustrades, Mrs. Atkinson," Jim warns Joanne ominously during their meeting. When Joanne asks if he thinks Chloe might have had something to do with baby Sophie's death as well, Jim admits he considers it possible. He shares a disturbing experience. Once, when visiting the Atkinsons' home, he observed the way Chloe looked at her father, as if she were dead inside, and realized that Richard seemed afraid of his own 11-year-old daughter. These revelations forced Joanne to reconsider everything she thought she knew about her husband and stepdaughter. Was Diane's death really a suicide? Could Chloe have been involved in baby Sophie's death? And why has Richard been so protective of his daughter despite her concerning behavior? Armed with this new information, Joanne attempts to confront Richard about Chloe's psychiatric hospitalization. Richard downplays it, claiming he merely arranged therapeutic help after her trauma, not that she was locked up, as Joanne suggests. When she presses him about why Chloe lied about an intruder in the house, Richard insists she was simply confused. The confrontation escalates when Joanne asks Richard to look her in the eyes and state whether he truly believes Diane's death was suicide. She also directly asks if he thinks Chloe had anything to do with Sophie's death. Richard becomes furious, revealing that Chloe wasn't even home when Sophie died. She was with her maternal grandparents. He accuses Joanne of not taking her medication and questions whether he can trust her to care for their daughter. This pattern of contradictory information continues to disorient Joanne. When she tries to show Richard the video of Chloe lurking in the nursery at night, she discovers it's been deleted from her phone. Richard suggests the video never existed and threatens to take the girls to a hotel while Joanne seeks help. Realizing he will never believe her over his daughter, Joanne pretends to agree and apologizes. The situation becomes even more complex when Richard must leave for a business trip to Amsterdam. Despite Joanne's protests, Chloe insists on staying to help with Evie. Before departing, Richard suggests that Joanne invite their cleaner, Roxanne, to stay with them, concerned about leaving her alone. After Richard leaves, Joanne receives a call from their lawyer, Solomon, who mentions that Chloe had called about Richard's will on November 24th. When questioned, Chloe casually reveals that she inherited half of her mother's fortune upon turning 21. This new financial information adds another layer to the already complicated dynamics. The battle for truth intensifies when Jim Preston calls Joanne with another revelation. Chloe was institutionalized for 3 months and 1 week at Vincent Gardens, an exclusive psychiatric clinic in Yorkshire, not just a few therapy sessions as Richard had claimed. More disturbingly, Jim states that Chloe was home when Sophie died, directly contradicting Richard's assertion that she was with her grandparents that night. The tension reaches its climax when Joanne confronts Chloe in the nursery, finding her holding Evie near an open window. Chloe refuses to hand over the baby, claiming she needs to hide her in the basement before he comes back, the bad man. In a stunning reversal, Chloe reveals a shocking story that Richard killed both her baby sister Sophie and her mother, pushing Diane from the third floor. She claims Richard faked his presence at a conference in Spain and later killed his associate Alfred Butterworth, who helped with the scheme. According to Chloe, Richard had her committed to a psychiatric hospital to silence her when she tried to tell the truth. As Joanne processes this information, she smells gasoline. Richard unexpectedly returns home, claiming to have received a message from their lawyer Solomon. While Joanne begs for help, Richard maintains an unsettling calmness about the situation with Chloe, who continues to hold Evie and threatens to kill Richard if he tries to take the baby. When Joanne demands action, Richard grabs her arm and tells her to calm down, insisting he can handle the situation and suggesting she wait downstairs. When Chloe locks herself in the bathroom with Evie, Richard asks Joanne to investigate the smell of gasoline while he tries to convince Chloe to come out. Searching the house, Joanne discovers that all the hallway light bulbs have been removed. She finds Chloe's phone in her dresser and answers a call from Roxanne, learning that Richard had canceled her visit, contradicting what he told Joanne. Richard appears, takes the phone, and claims to have found Joanne's cell phone, but when she checks it, she notices the SIM card is missing. Richard refuses to call the police, insisting he can resolve the situation himself. When he leaves to get an axe, Chloe convinces Joanne that Richard is deliberately isolating them. When Richard returns and begins breaking down the bathroom door, Joanne helps Chloe escape with Evie to her bedroom. Deciding to trust Chloe, Joanne allows her to continue holding Evie as they try to escape quietly. Richard attempts to manipulate Joanne emotionally through the locked door, alternating between declarations of love and accusations against Chloe, suggesting she killed her own mother and possibly her sister. When he begins violently striking the door, they flee down the stairs, discovering they've been doused with gasoline to block their escape. Reaching the front door, Chloe panics when she finds it locked. They run to the back door, but it's also locked. Desperate, they descend into the dark basement, singing to keep Evie calm. Joanne finds her phone with Wi-Fi signal and sees a message from the journalist confirming Richard is in financial trouble. Through the security camera she installed, they watch Richard trying to break down the door with an axe while they hide in the basement, fearing for their future. Hidden in the basement, Joanne questions Chloe about her actions. Chloe reveals she was trying to protect Joanne and Evie from Richard. Working at the Connaught Hotel, she had seen Richard secretly meeting a wealthy American woman. Chloe explains that Richard chose Joanne for financial gain, despite her modest inheritance of £60,000, and deliberately isolated her in a remote house. Joanne realizes how Richard manipulated her desires, making her believe that living far from London was her dream when it was actually part of his plan. Chloe confesses she came to the house not because she hated Joanne, but because she feared for Evie's safety after discovering Joanne's £10 million life insurance policy. She reveals she recently became wealthy upon turning 21 and receiving her maternal inheritance, and suspects Richard plans to kill them all and frame her. Chloe admits she watched over Evie every night and replaced the cowpaw, fearing Richard might poison it. They escape from the basement when Richard leaves the house, with Joanne carrying the still-sleeping Evie. Peering through the front door, they see Richard standing near Joanne's car with his shotgun. Chloe suggests a plan. She'll make noise upstairs to distract Richard while Joanne escapes with Evie. Joanne refuses to leave her, but Chloe insists it's Evie's only chance. Instead, Joanne suggests Chloe escape, reminding her that the spare key is hidden by the rear tire and the nearest neighbors are 800 meters away. Chloe refuses, arguing Richard would pursue them with the gun. She grabs an umbrella and matches from the kitchen, planning to set fire to the stairs to prevent Richard from coming down after she attracts his attention. Despite Joanne's protests, she runs upstairs and breaks a window. Richard returns to the house with his shotgun. Joanne sees Chloe at the window, terrified, with smoke rising behind her, screaming for her to run. She puts Evie in the car and lets it roll down the sloped driveway without starting the engine to avoid alerting Richard. Stopping the car beside a hedge, she's haunted by the image of Chloe's terrified face. Unable to abandon her with an armed man, remembering her promise, Joanne leaves Evie locked in the car and runs back to the house. Inside, she hears Richard shouting upstairs. Grabbing a heavy umbrella from the cloakroom, she carefully climbs the stairs and sees Richard with his back turned. She strikes his head with all her might. He briefly turns, blood streaming down his face, before collapsing. Trying to grab the shotgun but finding it too heavy, she searches for Chloe in the burning room and, surprisingly, finds their dog Oscar in the bathroom. As they try to escape, Richard grabs Joanne's ankle. Chloe helps by kicking him until he lets go. They descend the burning stairs with Oscar, who runs off as soon as Joanne releases him. Finding the car keys where Evie is crying, Chloe tries to calm her. The gate is closed and Joanne can't open it. Richard appears, bleeding and limping, pointing the gun at the car. Joanne begs him to let the children go, but he insists he loves her. Oscar suddenly attacks Richard, knocking him down. Joanne grabs the shotgun and demands he open the gate. Chloe takes the gun from her, shows Richard a baby picture of Sophie, and confronts him about her mother's and sister's deaths. When Richard begs for help, Chloe shoots him. The gate finally opens and, in a frightening moment, Chloe points the gun at Joanne before dropping it, saying she doesn't know what she was thinking. 2 months later, they tell the police that Chloe took the gun from Richard during a struggle for survival and it accidentally discharged. In reality, Richard was already on his knees, begging for his life when she shot him, but Chloe needed closure. Now, she lives with Joanne in a rented house in Islington, has returned to university, and works part-time at a local pub. They've discovered Richard's businesses were collapsing, his partners having pulled out months earlier. Joanne still seeks answers about the woman Richard was meeting at the Connaught, but she used a false name. One day, they visit the graves of Diane and Sophie, where Chloe leaves violets, her mother's favorite flowers. Afterward, they have tea with Helen, Diane's mother. Surprisingly, Helen keeps photo albums of Richard and Diane's family. As Joanne flips through photos of a young, smiling Chloe with Richard, Helen holds Evie and mentions that Richard used to visit her frequently, even after he was married. Joanne's world crumbles during this visit. Examining the old photo albums, she notices something disturbing. In all the photos with Sophie, Chloe looks at her sister with hatred. Helen reveals a shocking truth. Chloe confessed to her father that she pushed Diane, saying, "I did it, Daddy. We can be together now." Richard, unable to accept this, had her committed, claiming a nervous breakdown. Helen confirms that Richard bought Chloe an apartment in Primrose Hill, contradicting what she told Joanne. Joanne remembers Richard seeing Chloe there when she was pregnant. A call to Solomon reveals that Chloe knew about Evie and asked about Richard's will. Joanne realizes with horror that Chloe saw them in Primrose Hill, discovered Evie's existence, and planned everything. Helen suggests that Sophie died after Chloe administered paracetamol and suffocated her. Joanne also discovers it was Chloe who sent the message canceling Roxanne on the night of the murder using Richard's phone. She overheard his conversation with Roxanne and then messaged pretending to be him. Chloe removed Joanne's SIM card, poured gasoline on the stairs, and had matches in her pocket. She planned to kill them all, but when Solomon called, she realized Richard would return and discover everything. She let Joanne live so she could testify against Richard. As Chloe goes to the kitchen, Helen grabs Joanne's wrist and pleads, "Don't let her stay." In this final, chilling moment, we realize that Joanne has escaped one nightmare only to find herself trapped in another, potentially more dangerous one. The woman she trusted to help save her daughter may be the greatest threat of all, a sociopath who has orchestrated an elaborate plan of revenge and manipulation, with Joanne now completely in her power. At its core, Don't Let Her Stay is a masterful exploration of psychological manipulation and gaslighting. The novel demonstrates how easily our perception of reality can be distorted when someone systematically undermines our confidence in our own judgment. Joanne's experience is particularly harrowing because the gaslighting comes from multiple sources. Both Chloe and Richard work to make her question her sanity, though for different reasons. The novel also delves into the vulnerability of new motherhood. Joanne's isolation in a remote country house, her struggle with her identity after leaving her career, and her fears about potentially inheriting her mother's mental illness all create fertile ground for manipulation. Her desire to be a good mother and stepmother makes her doubt her instincts about Chloe, even when those instincts are trying to protect her child. Perhaps most disturbingly, the book explores how family loyalty can be weaponized. Richard's blind spot regarding his daughter, whether motivated by guilt, fear, or genuine love, allows Chloe's manipulation to flourish. His unwillingness to acknowledge the possibility that his daughter might be dangerous puts his new family at risk. The novel leaves us with uncomfortable questions. Who was telling the truth? Was Richard really planning to kill Joanne for her insurance money, or was Chloe manipulating Joanne to help her eliminate her father? Was Chloe a victim of her father's machinations, or a calculating killer who eliminated her mother and sister out of jealousy? The ambiguity is part of what makes the story so compelling. Just like Joanne, we're never entirely sure whom to trust. Don't Let Her Stay transforms the domestic sphere, typically associated with safety and comfort, into a psychological battlefield where words and perceptions become deadly weapons. The beautiful country house, initially presented as Joanne's dream home, becomes increasingly claustrophobic as the story progresses, its remote location and multiple rooms creating perfect conditions for isolation and surveillance. The novel reminds us that sometimes the greatest dangers come not from strangers, but from those we've welcomed into our homes and hearts. It forces us to consider how well we really know the people we love and what secrets they might be hiding behind their familiar faces. As Helen's final warning echoes, "Don't let her stay," we're left with the terrifying realization that Joanne's nightmare isn't over. She may have escaped one predator, only to find herself living with another, potentially more dangerous one. The cycle of manipulation continues, with Evie's safety hanging in the balance and Joanne once again forced to question everything she thinks she knows. In this psychological house of mirrors, the truth remains elusive, shifting depending on who's telling the story. And that, perhaps, is the most frightening reality of all.